All right, welcome to the Toddcast, everybody. We are live on YouTube. It's Thursday night. It's 8 o'clock. Well, it's a little after eight. Justin was a little late. We'll blame him. I am John. I'm your main host. I've been here since the beginning. And Justin's been here, and he's been
I was gonna
my
say it'll be
steady
like
right hand. Yeah,
three
my
years
steady
now, I
right hand
think.
for like 3 or 4 years. And with us tonight is a friend of ours. He's a creator. He's got an awesome Kickstarter going on. His name's John Davis, and he is the creator of Death Drones, which we are going to talk in nauseam about tonight. So welcome, John. Thanks for coming on.
Mr. John, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Love the show. Love the your convention, your comic book stores. I mean, you guys are into everything. That's awesome. So it's my pleasure.
We do try. We appreciate all the feedback always. Before we get into it, we usually do some like nerd news and stuff. So just a reminder for everybody who doesn't know and is living under a rock, Saturday is Free Comic Book Day, slash
Or,
comic giveaway day, depending on
yeah.
which publisher you're looking at.
Which legal version we're allowed to use
Luckily, we're allowed
until
to
they
use
make up
both.
their mind next
So,
year. It'll be fine. It's
right.
just temporary for this year, hopefully. Fingers
Hopefully.
crossed. Yeah.
Check out all the stores. All the hours are posted on our website. A lot of stores are opening early and staying open a little late. We're not running any sales, though, because we have our big anniversary sale coming up at the end of June, and that's going to be crazy. But if you do come in, please buy something as well as grabbing your free books. Because they're not free to us. Just remember that.
Yes.
Obviously, we have Three Rivers Comic Con coming up in about, oh my gosh,
It's a month.
30,
It's a
37
month from now.
days. 37 days. So three, no, it's 30, 36, 36 days. So three, six weeks from Saturday will be the show. I can't believe that. I'm just like, oh, five weeks, sorry, 5 weeks from Saturday. Oh my God. My brain is just fried. This is terrible.
It's not bad. This is by
It's
far one
okay.
of the smoother years we've done it. I'll be
That's
fair,
true. That's true.
but we also don't have an awesome t-shirt combo this year, t-shirt poster
No.
logo.
We are gonna have a t-shirt, a commemorative t-shirt, but it's a commemorative t-shirt for New Dimension Comics and celebrating 40 years versus the 10 years of the show. There will be a limited press of those, so make sure everybody looks out for those. I hope that they are in there by the time that the show kicks off. If not, there will be a sweet free beer koozie when you buy your can of beer this year that will have our 30th anniversary logo on it, the Three Rivers logo on it. It's a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. I'm excited for the. I can't wait to announce the beer label once it's done. It's got to be like by next. I would hope by next week we have it and we're ready to roll. But I'm super excited. I'll be there running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Justin will be hopefully trying to keep my head from cutting, being cut off.
Usually.
while running around himself. And then John will be there set up, selling his wares and showing off his awesome art and things like
Yes.
that. But we do have some crazy celebrity deaths that happened this week, as we do talk
Yeah.
about those a lot. Big comic one was Jerry Conway.
Yes.
Big Spider-Man name there. That was huge.
Big
But
power. He was in the
what's that?
his contributed with Punisher and Power Girl too, if I'm not
Yeah,
mistaken.
for sure.
Yeah.
He was one of
Yeah.
the co-creators, Punisher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Who is the other one?
Roger Sweet, which was the co-creator of He-Man, passed away as
Oh,
well.
that's right.
Which really
91.
91. Yeah.
Missed
Yeah.
his movie. I hope he got to see it. I do. I hope he
I
got to
think he
see the movie.
probably did see it. I
Yeah.
imagine he probably got a sneak peek.
If they don't add a special thanks to the end of the movie for him, like a remember in
Yeah.
memoration or
Yeah.
memorial or something,
Yeah.
That's a missed opportunity if they don't. So another one though that I found out this afternoon on my way home from dropping some more flyers and stuff off. David Allan Coe passed away. He's kind of a local legend because he grew up in Akron. He wrote songs like Take This Job and Shove It. He didn't perform it, but he wrote it. His last recorded album was the one he did with Pantera called Rebel Rebel Meets Rebel.
Rebel.
And if you want to hear like the most southern metal, like whatever your idea of southern metal is, you need to listen to this record because it will set the record straight on what it really is. With songs like Cowboys Do More Dope Than Rock and Rollers.
Nothing to Lose was another one that was really good too.
And actually we had a one of his nieces worked for us at the Ohio store for a while. She's also a comic creator. She lives in Columbus now, I think. Condolences to her family. That really sucks. So, but I think that's all the celebrity deaths we have, right?
No, you're missing the if you are big into the Storage Wars,
Oh yeah, I
original
know.
Storage Wars, Daryl Sheets passed away. No, it's they said he committed suicide, which is again a shame. So condolences to his son who's still around. And I think he was still married, so his wife. This, I think it was his second wife or third wife. I can't. I know he had a couple of divorces. I know he was not doing good health wise because I know he had like a stroke and like a couple of heart attacks and like they said Storage Wars. Anybody who did Storage Wars was kind of cursed because a lot of that original cast is not doing well as far as health wise. I know there's the second wave of guys are doing okay, but I know that original first wave of aren't doing so hot. So our condolences to his family. I watched Storage Wars. I love that show. I watched that one weekly. That was a fun little reality show for me to watch. So that was a it's a shame to hear about that.
And anytime we hear about anyone taking their own life, please, if you are having suicidal thoughts, please seek help. You can call, I believe it's 811 or 988, sorry, 988 for the suicide prevention hotline, and talk to somebody because we'd rather have you here. Really, we would, really.
If you're, go see your local parishioner if you're if the, you go that route,
Mean,
or go
at
to your local
least,
bar and talk to your bartender if that
yeah,
works for you.
right.
Anything is better than just doing that. It
Or call
just
me. I'll talk to you. I'm not a professional, but I'll talk to you. But I've lost a couple friends to that, and some family members to suicide, and it definitely sucks. So please get some help if you're in that boat. All right, now on to a better note. Let's talk to John about his comic.
All
Which
right.
is not about suicide. It's about so the nutshell from I reread it today, the nutshell is a pretty much immortal deity kind of guy basically makes robots and tries to kill the world, and these two sisters kind of stop him, right? That's kind of the well, not even stop him. It happens, but they survive through it. Is that the nutshell version of the book, right?
Yes. Yeah, we'll go with that. That
Okay.
works.
Cool. So
Now,
let me share my. Well, actually, let's do this first. Give everybody your kind of like your origin story. Like, well, how'd you get into comics? What'd you why'd you start drawing? Why'd you start writing? And then who some of your favorite creators are?
okay, so the one of my favorite moments of my entire life was in the third grade, fourth grade. And a friend of mine went to New Dimension Comics. Went to New Dimension Comics and he grabbed a copy of Uncanny X-Men 242 and Punisher War Journal number 7. Now, at this time in my life, I had already understood Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, all the kind of superhero stuff. But when he gave me those books, I never saw anything like that. And it really like changed my life because I got a strong exposure to Jim Lee and Mark Silvestri in the same day. And it just kind of, I was like, okay, this is different. This makes me want to do this. So I'm going to do what these guys do. So I started drawing and really wanted to be an illustrator from that point. So, you know, fast forward, I did in high school, I made my first comic book. It's around here somewhere in a notebook somewhere. It's like 12 pages and it's really, really bad. but it's really interesting because I was like at the prime time, even in comic book history, to be exposed to some of the best illustrators ever, you know, Todd McFarlane, Jim Lee, Mark Silvestri, Joe Madd, and the list goes on. Greg Capullo, you know, he was drawing X-Force at the time, and that stuff is rock and roll, man. Like, it's still, you know, he just got better as he kept drawing. But yeah, I was really lucky to be exposed to all those guys. But then at the same time, like, how am I going to draw and compete with this level of professionalism? I mean, these guys were serious. So back around 2010, I'm hanging out with my neighbor and I walk up to him and I go, "Hey, man, if your house burned down, what would you save?" And it's like, I'm one of those guys, like, I talk to strangers. I you know, ask random questions and ask goofy things and whatever. So he kind of looks at me strange and he goes, "I guess my Frank Miller comics, my old Daredevil stuff." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, seriously?" And we were neighbors for like 3 or 4 years at this point. I'm like, "How do I not know that you're into comic books?" So we decided to make a comic book. 6 months later, Worlds Apart was born, and it's so bad. It's so bad. Because I couldn't draw. Now, at the same time, I'm a graphic designer. I'm building websites. I have a pretty good art career. I just didn't go down the illustration path. And the reason that I didn't is because it was the boom of the internet, and all my professors were like, "Don't you dare go into illustration. You're going to make a fortune doing the websites and the technology. Like, go to that side." So I took their advice. Oops. So, and don't get me wrong, I have made a beautiful career out of following that path. But at the same time, I went ahead and kept drawing. Like, I never lost those chops. So one day I put up a booth at this other convention in Pittsburgh and I get the chance to meet Neil Adams and show him my portfolio. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So I go up to Neil Adams and his line has like, there's another 15 guys in front of me with their portfolios and they want to get portfolio reviews. So Neil Adams is sitting there in his chair. He takes the portfolio, "Get out of here. Next portfolio, get out of here. Next portfolio, get out of here." I'm going through the line and I'm like, okay, this is good. This isn't going to take a whole lot of my time. This guy's not even going to look at my stuff. "Mr. Adams, how are you?" I hand him my portfolio. He turns the page. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's very quiet and he's looking. One of the things that I always did with my illustration was paid attention to sequential storytelling and I paid attention to perspective. Those were two things that were always important to me. He turns the page again And now I'm kind of sweating a little bit. I'm like, okay, weird, because he told everybody else to get lost. Turns the page one more time and goes, there it is. And I'm like, yes, there it is. He's like, this is in very bad taste, poor quality. This is garbage. What are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm like, what's the matter? He goes, you're drawing out of your head. You're not paying attention to reality. Like, these drawings are garbage. Your anatomy's all wrong. And man, he sits there for 20 minutes and he starts going through every single detail. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to remember what he says. And then he spends another 10 minutes telling me how to fix it.
Nice. Now, if you've
met Neil Adams, Neil Adams will charge. This is a typical phone, cell phone, $50 for a sketch about this size.
Mm-hmm.
That takes him about, I don't know, maybe a minute. He's a legend. So, of course, mm-hmm. right? He gave me hell for over 20 minutes for free. And told me how to fix it. So I went back to him the next day. I said, Mr. Adams, thank you for taking the time to talk to me and go through and figure this out. And I have never drawn better in my entire life because I started implementing some of the tools that he outlined. Like, maybe you should reference real life. Maybe you should practice every day. Maybe you should keep going and keep developing these skills. And you know, he told me why he told those other guys to go away. He's like, look, if you want to do pinups, that's great. But that's not what comic book, that's not what we're doing here. We're telling stories. It has to be sequential art. And I loved that. So, you know, I took his advice and started to get better. So after that, I kind of lost contact with the guy that I was doing the Worlds Apart book with. And then I had to figure out how to write. Here comes COVID. So everything shuts down and I go, you know what? I love drawing comic books, but I don't know, like, from a professional standpoint, how to write a comic book, how to a script, how to even approach writing any kind of story, you know, whatever it may be. what am I going to do? So, like anybody would do, I went to masterclass.com and started to look for a class where I could learn how to write, because now I'm starting to get some of the drawing chops. I want to learn how to write. So I go to the Dan Brown class on masterclass.com, and Dan Brown is so eloquent and he's so refined, and he goes through and he tells you these 10 great things that you can do in order to write fantastic, wonderful story, and really gives you the great thing. And I said, you know what? I could probably do 4 out of those 10 things, and then my drawing will save me the rest of the way. I'm good to go. Let's make a comic book. So that's what I did. And, you know, I kept studying, you know, a little bit further, you know, got into some of Quentin Tarantino's ideas about storytelling, and paying attention to, like, if you look at my wall, there's a lot of Batman. There's a lot of Marvel Comics. X-Men, I'm a huge fan of, you know, all these things. But I really started to open up to, you know, The Boys, a lot of Garth Ennis's stuff, Mark Millar, Nemesis, I'm a huge fan of Hellboy, going back to like all the graphic treatments that that go with Mike Mignola, and really trying to broaden not only my the language for storytelling, but also a visual language that these other artists that are doing quote unquote independent work, and see how they're treating the entire medium. And honestly, making a comic book has made me read more comic books and really opened my entire scope of what could be possible in this medium. So that's how Death Drones came to be. Now, your original question was, what's the synopsis for Death Drones? I just took all the coolest stuff that I could think of and jammed it into that story. Like, here, I'm a child of the 90s. I'm going to put this in there. I like B-2 bombers. Those are going in there. I like aircraft carriers. Those are going in there. I like the island of Dr. Moreau. I'm going to take an octopus and a crocodile. Boom, we have the croctopus. I'm going to jam that in there. Okay. And then, I love Wolverine and Lobo. So the cover of the first book, you're going to see my influences. You're going to see the guys that I love. And it's going to shine through in that book. But the goal was to make something for myself, to be the best thing that I could possibly contribute to the medium. So you guys, I'm sure, have heard of a guy named Rick Rubin, the music producer, right?
Yep.
So how do you go from like Run DMC to Tom Petty, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Johnny Cash? I mean, this guy's all over the place. Rick Rubin has a book called The Creative Act, and he talks about, honestly, creativity being communal, almost in a meditative kind of way. There's a ton of links on YouTube about Rick Rubin, and I suggest you listen to him talk, because nobody delivers it like this guy does. I mean, his voice is just, is perfect. So he says, when you create something, don't try to sell it. When you create something, make it for yourself. And it doesn't matter if the world responds or not.
Yep.
If the world responds, great. If they don't, okay, maybe the time will come, maybe it won't. But that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because you have this opportunity here and now to be able to do this creative act. So go, go do it. That's what we were built for. And that, that whole book and the timing of how that came out was absolutely perfect with the release of me putting these five comics in this one volume together.
Cool. I definitely agree 100% on what you were talking about with Rick Rubin, because I've heard that before, and that's kind of my philosophy too. As a musician, I make music for me, and if other people dig it, cool. So I totally, totally get that. And I always felt that was kind of the point, right? Like, unlike, well, I hate to say it because I love the band so much, like ABBA, like, they became this, like, churning machine of pop music. So much so that Bjorn has like a studio school that every major pop artist since ABBA's come out has recorded there. Taylor Swift just did her whole last record. She cut it in like 2 weeks out there because she was just with a bunch of other creative guys that just wanted to get stuff out. Some of the best pop music ever has come out of there. But it's, I don't know if it's writing for them versus writing for, writing for the mass. Pink is a great example because, like, she did a record out there. The one that had Get This Party Started on it was written out there in Switzerland. The one following up to it, she wrote with the singer from Four Non Blondes and Tim Armstrong from Rancid. And that it were totally different records, but they totally both rocked. So it's kind of one of those things where you can tell like it works both ways, but I think it's more satisfactory and you're going to want to keep doing it if you do it for yourself. So that's my opinion.
Sure. Sure. So, and I'm sure when you listen to, any album or you pick up that book and you have that emotional response where you go, and it doesn't matter what the emotional response is, but you have that connection with that body of work, whatever it is, you vibe with it. I think visiting that, whatever that creative thing is, it's funny because the creativity is going to happen no matter what, right? Like, okay, so there's probably 10, Nah, maybe. Yeah, let's just let's. Maybe there's 5,000 other guys that are doing a Kickstarter for comic books right now. That's a low number. It's a low number. But I'll bet you that every single one of us had that creative spark, had that emotional, that vibe, that vibration to be able to, okay, this needs to come into the world. This needs to happen. And I feel the responsibility to bring it to life, to make it exist. And, you know, is it going to be well received? I don't know. You know, are people, you know, and it's so funny too, because here's where the business part comes in. It's like, why should anybody care about me? I mean, there's no reason to. I'm right. Some guy who lives in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, who loves comic books and weird music and plays drums and martial arts and, you know, so what? Who cares, right? So my hope is that, you know, enough people respond to it, because there's, I don't know, there's something to that, that, you know, I want the good critique, but I want the bad critique too. Like, show me how this could be better, because it would be a favor, you know. It goes back to the Neil Adams story. Like, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Like, don't show your artwork or play your recordings for your family, because they're going to be like, oh, that's great. Hey, you're the worst. You don't even know what good is, you know. Right. You love me. That's why you say these nice things, you know. But to, you know, to get the real feedback and do it is pretty wonderful thing.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a look at the book for a little bit. There's the share button. All right. So we're just going to scroll through this a little bit, just so people can get an idea of what the art looks like. And you can buy all of these single issues at your local New Dimension Comics. I think there's a couple other stores in the area probably that carry it too. But yeah, just look for it. We have like an independent creators section that we have ours in, so make sure you check that out. So this book is in black and white, just so you guys know. Yeah, I reread it this morning because I had read the first, I think, two or three issues before, and I wanted to reread it so I remembered what the hell was going on. And there, like, as I'm going through here, and, like, I know you're, like, a giant X-Men, X-Family fan from, like, the 90s stuff very specifically, and you can definitely feel that vibe in the art, and which is a good thing. That's a compliment. That's not a bad thing. Because there's certain parts where I'm like, man, that feels like Bob McLeod, and then other parts where I'm like, man, that feels like Silvestri. Like, it's just like, because this panel here, that feels like Silvestri doing like early Darkness to me, you know, and there's witchy. Some like some Turner-y Witchblade-y stuff. For sure. Like, this has a very Frank Miller-y vibe to the face. Mm-hmm. Like Frank Miller meets Jim Lee vibe.
It feels very bizarre too. Where,
yeah,
you know, kind of looks very Keanu Reeves looking there.
Yeah.
So maybe you and so him can collab and do Berserk and.
So when we were talking earlier, I mentioned like how I have a hard time with black and white, and there's certain panels that I'm like, man, that would be so much better in black and white. This is one of them, because you can't tell what this second frame down is until you get to the bottom. You're like, oh, that's this crazy mutant crocodile head. Like, yeah.
So but, this is where the you know, the only reason this is in black and white is because I didn't have the money to pay a colorist to go ahead and do it, the other, you know, just to do the work. My coloring is okay, but not, I don't think, good enough, or it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to take the amount of time to do what it would require. So,
right.
you know, had to be grayscale for this one.
Right, but I mean, still, it works though. There's just parts of it that, like, I'm just like, man, I wish this was in color because that would look so much more badass. But a lot of it just looks badass anyway. So,
I was gonna say these look like badass tattoos you could get, like some of
yeah.
these designs, like your creatures alone. I could see some dude going, "Oh, I want that tattooed on my arm, you know, full
Like
sleeve."
this, I can totally see somebody getting that on their leg. Yep. The interesting thing I noticed while I'm going through the book was your word boxes and descriptions. It felt very like Silver Age writing to me, like, because they would always put a lot more detail in the boxes. And where the 80s and 90s, like, it was more the art leading the conversation. It works though. It works for what you're doing. And I think the lack of coloring makes those needed to do that.
I think that's fair. You know, being a good colorist also tells a story within itself. You know, I listen to guys like Alex Sinclair is a good example. He, you know, he'll take all of his pages and make them like 4% so that he can see the color gradually evolve to tell the story. You know, his coloring tells the story along with every other element that goes in a page, so I'd have to
Right.
agree with that.
I like this shot too because it has like a bit of a J. Scott Campbell, like Gen 13-y vibe to it, and I really like it. So
Yeah,
I love that there's a lot of action in here. Like, is also good. Like your Hulk slash Frankenstein monster type guy here. I dig that.
with the bats flying around.
Yeah. He's
You
almost
know,
like a less dead looking Solomon Grundy. I dig it.
and I was thinking when I had that image drawn, you know, I had it, I was getting ready to ink it, and I'm thinking, how can I make this, like, how can I just make it more badass? Oh, put bats in there, like Batman always looks cool with bats flying around him, so why shouldn't my guy?
Yeah. I mean, he is coming out of like the crazy part of the jungle, so yeah. Let's see. There's another, like, I really like this face close up. I think that looks really good. So,
Good one. Yeah.
I love this cover. Like, this, I think this was the first cover I saw when you brought him in originally. And I really, really enjoyed that because I think that was like 2 years ago, right? Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you know, I was at you know, Baltimore Comic Con, you were just talking about. I was there in 2023. So that would have just come. And so one of the guys, I
You were
had
on the
two people.
very end just before the
Yeah,
celebrities, I think.
you
I
drew my
was at
Emma
the pre.
Frost. Yeah.
See, I remember.
So I recently started a TikTok account just as a promotional kind of piece because to me, TikTok was a warning. It stole all my time. So I was like, no, I have to draw. I can't do TikTok. but I started posting on there, and one of the guys from that picked up the three books that were done at the time at Baltimore Comic Con hit me up on TikTok and actually ordered the last two books and said, "Hey, I really like this. Can you go ahead and, you know, show me some more?" So yeah, I went ahead and sent him the books, and he seemed to like them
That's
pretty well.
awesome.
So I was, you know, it's those kind of little wins that make this kind of thing work. That when people go, "Oh yeah, this, you know, give me some more," you know.
I love your like pirate Billy Butcher guy here, because he
Thank
just
you.
has like a pirate. It's like if Billy Butcher was a pirate, that's the vibe I got off this guy.
You know, when I was thinking today that we were going to be talking tonight, and if you guys were going to talk about, you know, this last season of The Boys.
Oh, which, my God, it's so good.
It's so good right now.
I love the 10 minutes of terror point of view that we got in this last episode.
Dude.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Who wrote that?
I just love that Seth Rogen is one of the executive producers and he gets killed in this episode. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, oh. I'm sure Garth is like, yes, I approve of this. And it just hung up.
Yeah. Well, like Justin, did you see it yet? Did you see this episode?
I have not. No.
Okay. There's the Homelander chunks in the terror moments are hilarious.
Hilarious.
Like that's all we're gonna say. They're ridiculously hilarious. Like that 10 minutes of terror was like my favorite part of the whole episode. It was just so good. Nice. Oh man. Fun.
I do want to mention one thing before you go too much further scrolling through this.
I can back up.
The first book up to about this point, so the first book plus a little bit more of the second book, is available as a free download on my website.
Oh, cool.
If you do want to take the time, and I'm thinking about, so I am running a Kickstarter, which is actually live right now.
We're going to talk about that next, yes.
There's going to be, I think I'm going to put a direct link of the free copy on the Kickstarter because it just, you know, I went through and I'm like, it doesn't make sense not to. Just here, check it out. See what you think.
Right. I love that. I love all of the, like the industrial design stuff, which is your actual, I guess, background, right?
That's my graphic design career coming through, making
I also love that you called it CCN instead of CNN. That was pretty funny. So, I like this shot a lot. I think she looks extremely human and correct. Neil Adams would be proud.
Neil Adams, I think, would be proud. I mean, he definitely bust me on a bunch of these shots, but I think all in all, you know, I try to live up to that expectation because it's important.
I love the giant dragon axe too. Like, and then he's just like, nope, I just needed to hit it into the ground. It's fine.
Dude, man, I mean, like, as a child of the 80s, like, I don't feel like I really have a choice. I grew up with, Thundercats, He-Man, G.I. Joe. I mean, weapons, and I mean, the weapons are characters in the story. You know, this is part of the fun of doing something like this. It really, I mean, it's taken me years to put this together. It's a huge time suck. There's no question. And who knows if it's going to pay off, right?
Oh, this shot was great too. Like where she's like meeting her temporal clone or temporal counterpart. Yeah. Oh man, it's so good. That's another one that I was like, man, if that were color, holy shit, would that just slay? It would just slay.
That's
this whole page would
time travel Star Trek influences. I know, man. You know, maybe the next Kickstarter we'll see if we can raise some money to get it painted.
This reminds me of the toy line of Visionaries.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
that's what that reminds me of. Is like when they're holding their totem creatures and it comes out of their weapons. That's what that reminds me of.
Mm. I like the future version of the Dragon Queen. Like I love it because it's like it's almost like a magic and malice blend vibe that I dig. I think it's her crown that I really like, and a little bit of Black Panther-y looking with the like the necklace.
And there's obviously some classic Storm in there too. You know.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, it's so good, dude. Like, the art in this is fantastic. So.
Thank you.
And yeah, sequential, like, some of the stuff that I've heard most people have the hardest time with is sequential art. Or they do too much background or too little background. Mm-hmm. I think you balance your stuff fairly well where, like, here's a great example. this has a lot of background, and then this doesn't really, and then it doesn't. It has even less here, and I think it's a good balance of that that you did there. I really dig it.
So one of my favorite artists of all time, Frank Frazetta, he's the man.
Yeah,
right. And his whole thing was design. Like he had all of the skill. He could do everything. But he only cared at the end of the day if the design was absolutely appropriate for the piece. Because if the design didn't work, then the hell with everything else. Didn't matter. And like, I try to, I mean, that's like the best art advice you can give somebody. Pay attention to the design. Everything else will take care of it, you know?
Yeah, you can't overdo it. You can't underdo it. And your balance of it is very good.
So, thank you.
But yeah, we're just kind of going through here. I'm just trying to find. I like this scene a lot too. Like that's a really good shot. So, trying to think. There's like one or two more that are coming up that I really really liked. I really like the version of her that, or the sister on the ground, like that side. I love that. Like, it just looks like something out of like, almost like an old Jack Kirby, like Fantastic Four, Sue Storm's in Trouble, like pose, which I really, really dig. This page was very interesting to me. I was just like, is it just like time yelling at him or yelling at her? Like,
so this is like in her head. Go, like, this is what she's processing now. And I just did it in a visual way. It was funny. Some of the publishers that I talked to in New York this past year, this was a couple people's favorite page. They're like, this is weird. And they love it. And I'm like,
cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like it too.
Yeah, all the things it's weird, but I like it.
Jam it in there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely some other pages in here that I'm just like, man, these are great. That's another great panel there where she's like looking at you.
This is one of my favorite pages.
This fight scene is killer.
So moving the camera is one of the most fun things in comics and movies. The same thing, you know, moving the camera and paying attention to all the rules that go with that. It's kind of a pain in the neck, but it's very fun.
Oh man.
You get it wrong, you lose people. That's no good.
Yeah, exactly. I really like this, like where she's got like whatever blood or guts on her and stuff. I really like that panel there. This whole page, I think, was phenomenal. It's like time being weird, plus explosions, plus all kinds of stuff. I dig it. And this panel, this whole page too. Yeah, this is the page I was telling you about, like where she's shooting the beam from her chest. I'm like, man, if this was in color, this would look so fucking badass. I can't wait to see what that looks like in color whenever you get it colored.
Yeah, go bump that Kickstarter, kids. Let's get some color going.
Right? Like this whole page is awesome. Like this is, you know, like a full on, like Silvestri vibe to me. Like I dig it.
You know who? I mean, you know who I've been studying that, like, I've been trying to translate what he does to inks, and it's really weird. But Simone Bianchi, the guy that did, I discovered him in the Thanos book that came out, where he did the paintings of all of the pages.
Yeah.
And like, he has, like, those Italian guys, man, I don't know. Maybe it's because they don't have all the poison in their food, but the stuff that they're so good.
Right.
Again, if you're thinking about artists throughout history, Most of them were
Italy.
Italian.
No doubt.
And I'm a big Simone fan myself. Like I love when he does Wolverine.
Oh yeah.
His was it the Wolverine Origins? Is he did that whole series and its storyline sucks. I totally admit that. The story is awful, but the art perfect.
It's
it
perfect.
Is. Yeah, the Wolverine's anatomy, Sabretooth's anatomy. You know,
and dude, the backgrounds, like the grungy backgrounds, he just nails it. He has, I mean, he gets the whole vibe. Like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about
it. Oh yeah.
I love this panel too, this one on the bottom right there, like the half dark colored, like coming in the shadow type deal. I love that. I just think it looks so good. So
I love that little blurred here.
Yeah.
Where it's slightly blurry. I love that because you don't see that very often in comics. Purpose on purpose. Like not a printing thing. And I love that. It adds that little extra dimension. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's definitely
that's one of my goals sometime in the next couple of years to meet Simone, because they do that big art, comic art show down there in Florida every year.
Florida, yeah, in February.
And he goes there every year, and he has his full on art for sale. He'll do full on art for you. Now, granted, it's going to cost you some cash, but
sure,
I would save up an entire year to get a piece done by him.
Yeah, my buddy Chad, I think, helps with that show. He's there. It's a lot of fun. So
I watch it on YouTube, and like guys that go to YouTube, and they're like, "Here, I guess Walt Simonson was down there this year, doing stuff." So, and he never goes down to Florida, so.
Right. Yeah, I also love this, like magic sword shows up. Oh.
Yeah.
And then I know I skipped over it, but like you had like the whole like you had like Kim Jong-un and like
Putin.
Trump and Putin. Oh yeah, here's Trump again. And you nailed the way he talks, it's hilarious.
So there are
wait, hold on, I'm gonna read this just because it's hilarious. So it's, Tiger, we have the most advanced hose on the planet, and I personally met the other world leaders, and you have better believe that our hose are the best. We have the best hose with the blacksmith industries and better ways to leverage the whole program to make America so great. And he skipped down to his next thing. He's like, we have a brand new armed forces division of Hulls. They're the best and the most deadly force to ever exist on the planet, and we're going to take over. Do you understand me? Unmatched. Because we're in control of everything. Greatness will prevail. It's happening right now. It's like, and that's how I read it in my head when I read it. And it was like, and I was just like, oh my God, like you've nailed this so bad. Like, I love it. I love it.
I was going to say, you didn't happen to get that straight off as Truth Social, did you? Because that's exactly...
I feel like this was like an actual speech game. We have these drones. It's fine. We have drones. Lots of drones. My son owns all these drones. I mean, what?
Blockades, tariffs, all
Trump,
of it.
Trump. Very, very, very easy to write. You know, it's
just... Yep.
It's just
the most mature kindergartner ever.
Right. Oh man. Oh yeah, I love these stealth bombers in here. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and the helicopter, I mean all of that G.I. Joe type stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Vehicles are awesome. You know, I want to get into that a lot more.
Your helicopters are phenomenal. I love this page too. Like this, like they're all flying at the croctopus, and it's like ginormous at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like kaiju version.
Yep.
You know, and that's one of the things that I really wanted to exploit and realize when, if you, I mean, if or when you make a comic book, I mean, you can do anything you want. Anything you want. You know, and I had to keep thinking, wait a minute, I can do anything I want. Anything. So that's why, again, it's I just love it.
It's awesome. All right, now we're going to talk about the Kickstarter. So I imagine you have to look for, if you look for Terror, Destruction, and Death Drones, it'll show up.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to back this project. And I will back it at the end of, well, when we're done, as long as you put that retailer here in there.
Yeah. That's taken care of. Yep.
Okay. Come on, load up. Let's go. Come on. There we go. So just giving John money is great. That's always the first one. Digital edition for $20, you can get this big five issue graphic novel for $20 digitally. I think that's a really good price. And then $30 for the digital plus the trade. So you get the paper version and the digital version for an extra $10. Not bad, man. Not bad. First trade plus first printing issue. So you get both the combined and the singles for $60. Again, I think that's a really great price for that. A limited edition signed issues 1 and 2. So are these the sketch cover 1 and 2? Is that why they're limited edition?
They're only limited edition because I only printed 20 of each of those.
Oh. So
it's just the inks. It's no digital colors on the on there. So, and I only did it to be a limited edition to get the signature. So it's a collectible.
Right.
It's very purposefully, you know, planned that way.
Nice. All right. Retailer bundle. Sweet. You get 5 copies of the trade for $90. That's actually pretty good. You know, kind of like what we look for when we do any type of Kickstarter. We look for how can we get this to make it work for a comic shop. And that's one of the reasons why people come to us a lot to talk about it. So I think having a 5 copy bundle that, you know, you can then, instead of having to go and pitch it to the shops later after it's printed, you can now go, hey, just, you know, I have a retailer bundle for $90 plus $30 shipping. And I'm assuming the $30 shipping, like if you're local, you'll just drop it off so we don't have to pay shipping.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah. So, you know, and with like the 30 freaking stores in the area, you could probably get at least probably 10 of us to do it. But I think 5 copies is a good call for that. I think it's a good amount. I think it's a good price. So good job.
Thank you.
Let's see here. And then the bundle. So you get the trade, the digital first, or you get the original first print floppy set issues, the signed issues, and a sketch on a blank cover.
That's
for $150. That's pretty sweet. So
nice.
And I did not have time tonight. I was going to look for that Emma Frost that you did for me, just so I could be like, here's a sketch that I got from me. but I don't actually have it with me. So, go and check these out. This is like the most easy Kickstarter I've ever seen, because you don't have it. It's not bloated with pins and stickers and lithographs and T-shirts. Not to say that isn't something that works for some people, because it does. Sure. In fact, our friend Dennis, who does Lycan, we backed it so that I could get a hockey jersey this year. So I'm not going to get it till like October, but I'm going to get it. But it's still a good thing. Like, I like that it's clean cut. It's down. It's just the roots of here's the books. Like, you're not trying to sweeten it with all kinds of extra stuff. I like the idea that there's a sketch in there, that last tier. I think this is a good rounded, like straightforward Kickstarter, which I like quite a bit. So
Thanks.
yeah.
The first day of a Kickstarter is very, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I launched the Kickstarter about an hour before it was going to automatically do it, just so that I could wake up and see if anything happened. I did my due diligence. I sent my emails, I sent my text messages, told everybody, did the social media stuff, did my due diligence. So I wake up in the morning and we don't there's not an aggressive approach to doing this Kickstarter campaign. I've paid out of my pocket to print all the books so far. I'm going to continue to do that with the graphic novel. I'm doing it more so to try to get it in front of people. I think Kickstarter is a great way to advertise and to
I agree.
market. So that's the purpose behind doing it. If it can help me pay for the print run, outstanding. That's great. But the overwhelming amount of gratitude when I woke up the next day and saw how many people were supporting the Kickstarter and then watching it grow throughout the day. And then going the next day and having nothing happen and questioning my existence and why did I ever get into this? And just like the roller coaster of ups and downs has been really interesting. But I love doing this and I'm going to continue to do it. The Kickstarter thing is, it's just another step along the road of, doing that creative act.
Well, I just did the backer of the retailer tier while no one could see my credit card number. So you're only $175 away from your goal. So you got 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. So it's going to end a little bit before the con. Yeah, you should be good, man.
I think I'm gonna, I mean, especially Free Comic Book Day is this Saturday. We're talking about it tonight. I have a couple more things lined up to try to talk to people. I have a bookmark. If you go to New Dimension Comics, some of the locations have bookmarks with QR code to my website, and then the Kickstarter link is right there. And then I took some and dropped them off at my gym today,
Nice.
just in
I'm
case.
assuming, since you're going to be at Big Bang on Free Comic Day, that Dave also has the everything too.
He
So,
does. Yeah.
yeah, Dave's a great guy. I love Dave.
Indeed.
Go Eagles! Like, we're Golden Eagles together, both Claren grads. I love hanging out with Dave. He's so good. And I think Pat Aulis is going to be there too.
Yes.
He usually does. That's usually his local for Free Comic Day. So if you guys are interested in talking to John and checking out Death Drones before you pledge to get the book, or you want to pick up some of the singles ahead of time, go check them out at Big Bang Comics down in Swickley this weekend on Saturday for Free Comic Day. What time are you going to be there?
I'll be there from, I believe, noon to four.
All
So
right.
we, there you go.
Sweet. And where on social media can people find you to watch you promote this stuff and talk more about?
Jay Davis Draws. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Jay Davis Draws. And then the website, jdavisdraws.com.
Nice.
And you can pick up
Easy.
your free copy
Yeah.
of the first, I don't know, four chapters. Check it out.
On
J.
the
Davis.
website. Yep. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm excited for you, man. I'm happy for you that this is coming to fruition. I know it's a lot of hard work. The musician side of me is going, it's like having an album release.
Essentially, that's what it is, equivalent of, so,
Or if you were if you were an actor, this would be the equivalent of having a box set of your first season coming out, which is kind of cool. Also, like people that may not remember from last year at Three Rivers, but you also did the Yiga Digga graphic novel based on the band, right?
I did. Yes. The Yiga Digga book.
Yes.
There we go. Yeah. You can check these guys out at yigadigga.com. There's a link to these guys on my website as well. And I did color this one. It's okay.
It's not bad.
It's okay.
Yeah, it works.
But the nice thing about this book is that you go in the front, you hit the QR code, and then you listen to the album and go through the lyrics while you go through the book. So every spread is
Nice.
a song from the album.
Nice.
Oh, that's
These
awesome.
guys are so good. I went to high school with their guitar player. And we didn't even find that out until after I got, introduced to the band and figured out. I'm like, wait a minute, we went to high school together. I mean, if you're into metal, and I mean, these guys are fantastic. They're so tight.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I thought they had like a Corrosion of Conformity vibe, which I really dug, because it's like bluesy metal, right? It's
For sure.
definitely awesome. My buddy Jeff, who's in a band called Ancient Currents, actually knows Chris, the drummer from Yiga Digga, really well.
Okay.
And it looks like they're probably going to try to set up some kind of show together once things get figured out, which I will most likely be at. So, but Chris was awesome. Like, I know he went to high school with Dave, like, and then college with Dave,
Yeah.
because he's another clarion guy. Because like when I got there and like I'm talking to him, and then Dave, like I mentioned Dave, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I went to college with Dave." I'm like, "You went to Clarion too? Shit!" So, yeah. And then
World
we
just
immediately talked about how awesome the original Bon Sub was. So, cool. Well, I think that's all I got. Justin, you got anything else?
No. It's, we what? We're excited for his book. It's
Yeah.
we're
Excited to
always
have
very
him at the show.
proud. Yeah, we're always very proud
Cool.
of having the local guys at our show and helping you out, helping the comic book guys out, helping everybody who comes on our podcast. It's our way of contributing. Besides just selling them out of the store and selling
Yeah.
them at shows and everything, this is another branch that we get to be a part of. If we can't be the creatives putting our pencils down and our inks down and whatnot, this is another route of helping artists out the best we can. So,
Yeah,
that
I agree.
reminds me of something else. You guys have, and I don't know if you realize how good it is. At the Three Rivers Comic Con, you guys have one of the most fun drink and draws. It is so much fun.
That's because of Sammy, to be fair.
Is.
We let her take the
She is
reins and she
wonderful.
just goes.
She does
We
such
don't
a
have control of her at all. To be fair.
Good luck. Good luck
You
with that.
pick the right
I
one.
give her husband all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he and I usually just talk metal the whole time. So
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
yeah.
Well, that, and
But
he talks out how messed up America is, which, like, we
yeah.
totally on that
Yeah, 'cause he's Australian, I think, or New
Yeah, he's
Zealand,
from
Australian.
Australia.
Yeah.
Australia. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, super,
Big
super grateful guys.
Celtics fan, though. Big basketball
Yeah.
Celtics fan, which is
And they will be
awesome.
at the show again this year, and she will be running the drink and draw again.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. Yeah, I think it's a blast. We're getting ready to announce the beer label. Ali Garza is doing the beer label. That's all I can tell you. So it's gonna be awesome. And
I have seen the specs, and I'm not a beer guy, but I appreciate the art of the labels that we put out. So
and then
that's
also,
wonderful.
like, so last year he did that Pittsburgh Steelers version of Harlequin. This year he's doing something similar but with Supergirl, and I'm super excited to see how that comes out. Super
Oh,
intended, super pun
yeah.
intended.
Which I have been seeing a lot of the kind of bringing up the subject of Supergirl there. I've been seeing a lot of negative Nancys about the new Supergirl movie, which I think is completely unfair. But again, it's the internet. Nobody can be happy anymore. I swear. Because they're like, they're giving her the Brie Larson treatment now, where they're like, oh, she shows no emotion. This is not the way Supergirl should act. And I'm like, you never read any of the Supergirl stuff, did you? That you're saying
Yeah,
that.
much like they didn't read any of the Captain Marvel stuff or Miss Marvel stuff before Brie Larson's movie came out. Right, so same thing.
Or She-Hulk, the series, where they're like,
Yeah,
oh,
or
what are
She-Hulk.
you? So
Yeah.
I'm one of the people that haven't read the Supergirl stuff. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I will say, however, that she didn't get enough time on House of the Dragon. I could have used another season with her to establish. I'm just
Yeah.
saying. I think she's
I thought she
fantastic.
was killer on Sirens. She was on
Yeah.
Sirens. It was a great miniseries. And I liked her portrayal of Supergirl in the Superman movie because I read that Supergirl of Tomorrow and or Woman of Tomorrow miniseries, and how she basically just goes there to unwind is how it starts out, and that's that it kind of goes snowballs into crazy, which is kind of what the movie's supposed to be sort of based on. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Which
but
I was
I
gonna
think it
say,
looks great.
didn't they reprint that for Free Comic Book Day too?
No, it was for Superman Day, which was like
Okay.
2 Saturdays ago. There
Yeah.
are a couple. Cranberry has a couple sketch covers left, so if you want to have John do a sketch of Supergirl for you at Three Rivers, go to Cranberry,
There you go.
buy yourself some sketch covers. In fact, I actually have like two or three sketch covers I've been like hoarding away this year for things. But I just got a couple weeks ago, I got a Valentine's Thundercats one, which I have a crazy idea, and I really want Sora to do it because I know she will have the most ridiculous fun with it. Where basically I want to have Lion-O dressed like Frankenfurter, and I want Chitara dressed like Magenta, and her like jump on his back and like try to kiss him on the cheek, and him be like kind of.
That's
Thing
awesome.
like, because I think he like weird. I don't know why, but every time I look at Lion-O, I'm like, it looks like he's wearing a corset. He looks like Frankenfurter, right? Like he's got the So that's my hope for that one. And then I have a couple other ones that I haven't quite figured out what I want done on them yet. I do have a white Mega Man back cover this time instead of a blue one that I gave Allie last time, and he was like, I gave it to him. I was like, hey man, can you metal man for me? And I was expecting just pencils and inks, and he's like, you had to give me a blue background for the guy who's red. And I was like, I was just expecting pencils and inks. Nope. He's like, nope, gotta color it. So he ended up doing it, man. Like he colored it and everything. It was awesome.
That's fantastic.
I have some real crazy good stuff. He did another one for me at Heroes, but I can't remember which character it was. I'll have to think what that was, because it wasn't Star Sapphire. That one I got that from Tim Seeley, actually, and that was awesome. But he was like real close to it. Was like him, Sora, or it was him, then why can't I think of her name? It's like his sister-in-law. Jenny Fritzen, right? So it's Tim Seeley, Jenny Fritzen, Isle, Sora, Allie, Bill McKay. So it was a really, really good deal, and I really liked it. So, but anyway, yeah. So thanks, John, for coming on. We really appreciate you coming on. And we love the books. We love to support. We're looking forward to spending the weekend with you downtown in June. And just hit people up one more time where they can find you on socials and the website, and where to find the Kickstarter.
For sure. So the easiest thing to do is to go to jdavisdraws.com. You'll find a link at the top of the page that goes directly to the Kickstarter. You'll be able to download a free version of the first 32 pages of the graphic novel. And all of my socials are at the footer of the webpage. And there's a lot of art and stuff. You can get, kind of check out my work and see what's going on in there. So yeah. JDavisDraws.com.
Awesome. All right, guys. And again, we'll see you guys next week. And we'll see. You can check out John at Free Comic Book Day down at Big Bang in Swickley this weekend. And then you can see him at Three Rivers Comic Con in June downtown with us running around being awesome or trying to be awesome. Try not to fall asleep is really the thing.
Oh, it's
That's just you. I won't sleep. I'll be exhausted because I'll be running around with this like crazy.
I'll sleep great the second night, like Saturday night. I'm like a rock. I'm out. But it's that 20-minute drive to the hotel that's going to be a little more crazy this year. But the drink and draw and the beer release will still be at Bill's Burgers in the Westin. We're just not because of the country concert. It kind of sniped our hotel rooms, and we could not house our guests in the hotel downtown this year, so we all have to stay a little further out. But that is what it is, and hopefully it'll be corrected for next year once we get our dates. So but cool. All right, guys, thanks so much for watching and listening, and we will see you later. Make sure you spend some money at your local comic shop. Doesn't have to be us, but if it is, even cooler. And we will see you guys all next week.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, guys.